Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series on prayer. Jesus modeled throughout his life on earth what prayer looked like between him and his heavenly Father. In this series, we explore how Jesus prayed and what we can learn from his example. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message.
So, what we were going to do and what we're going to do this morning, though, is dip into this bucket, which, if you guys remember from about 3 weeks ago now, one of the things in your small groups was every small group got a few slips of paper, and everybody had a chance to ask questions around this topic of prayer, which we've been covering now for the entirety of January and now this first week of February. And so the goal of this morning is not to answer every single question that was written in, but as I was sorting through the questions, and I think I told you guys this after they initially came in, there were so many great questions around prayer, and some of you guys even took it as an opportunity to write in other questions that you had. And as much as I'd love to touch on some of those, we are going to keep it specifically around prayer. But I think this might be something that we need to come back to regularly. We've done it a few times throughout the last several years, but it might be something just to know like how you guys are thinking about stuff, I think is really important. And to know what the questions are that you are asking. I think this is a fun opportunity for you guys to kind of have free range to ask any kind of questions. So, but specifically around prayer, we've got some of the questions that you guys had. And a lot of these were asked multiple times, maybe in like slightly different ways. And so what we're going to do this morning is just kind of draw a question out of the bucket, and we're going to do our best to answer it. And sometimes we're going to open up the scriptures for it. Some of the questions, I think, are things we more see throughout the scriptures, and so we may not necessarily camp in one spot. And we're going to try to do it all in the next 15, 20 minutes or so, all right? So we've got a good group of questions. However, before we do that, I want to encourage you guys, and maybe you know this. Maybe this is something that your family, or having grown up here at this church, this has become like a regular part of how you think about your faith. But maybe for some of you, this is the reason that that it was hard to ask a question. That maybe you were afraid, hey, is it okay that I ask this question? Or is it okay that I ask this question in this way? There is this whole kind of idea sometimes around religion and faith. And I even saw this in this movie. It's like an abominable snowman Yeti movie. It's called Smallfoot. Has anybody ever seen this movie? Smallfoot. Some of the premise of this movie, I actually fell asleep fairly early on because we were watching it while I was sick. And part of the premise is there's these Yeti, right, or these abominable snow people, and they live up in this mountain, and they have this like certain religion and way of life, and a big part of their religion and way of life is like, hey, this is what they have, these stone tablets that they read off of, right, and like, hey, there's the stone reader, and he tells you exactly what these stone tablets mean, which there are a lot of like just drawings. It would be like a drawing of a human being on a stone tablet. And an X marking off. And so they interpreted that stone as like, hey, there's no humans. There's no small feet. That's like a part of their religion. There's no small foots around. And they're within their religion and their faith in this movie. It's a cartoon movie, okay? By the way, this is not like a real life documentary sort of thing, okay? Some of you are like, wow, there really are abominable snowmen. It's just a cartoon. But maybe, I don't know. But within their religion, in their faith, there's a very much, hey, whatever the guy who reads from the stone tablet says, that's what it is. And we don't ask questions. We don't dive into it. We just accept that that's the way that it is. And I think that sometimes that's the way that our faith and other faiths like it can come across as like, hey, whatever the person on stage tells you, or whatever your parents tell you, or whatever, whoever it is who's read more books than you tells you, that's the way it is. We don't question it. We don't ask about it. But I don't think that that has to be the case. In fact, I think that's a very fearful way to approach faith and fearful way to approach religion. Like, if you start asking questions, you might see that none of this is true. I think that the exact opposite is true. I think that the more questions you ask, the more things you ask about God and who he is and how do I fit into this, and hey, does the Bible really say that? I think that the more questions you ask and really the journey that you go on as you're trying to find answers to your questions, that at the end of your questioning, you will find that this is more true than you thought when you first started. And that at the end of your questions, the end of your asking, that you will find Jesus. And so here at Fellowship Greenville, maybe it's different at other places, but we're not afraid of you guys asking questions. We want you to ask questions. In fact, it seems like that's something that keeps coming up over and over again in the scriptures. And I think that the journey you go on, really, it's not the question asking that's the problem. It's what you do with the questions that can be helpful or not so helpful. Sometimes I think we ask questions and then we don't go on any pursuit of trying to find the answer. And that's actually more dangerous to me. Like if you just have these questions and you never do anything with them and you just sit on the question forever, I don't know that's going to end you up anywhere. But if you have a question and you pursue an answer, I think that within that pursuit and at the end of that pursuit, you're going to find a deeper faith in what is real and who is real. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, Jesus is talking largely about prayer, but I think that this goes to our questions as well. And he says, ask. This is another part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. I think this is an invitation to bring any of your questions and askings before the Lord. And that as you are on that journey, that again, I think your faith is going to grow, that it's going to be strengthened, that you're going to find that this is more real than you thought when you first started asking the question. So if you have questions, and thankfully so many of you felt comfortable to put them into the bucket, so to speak, even though it was mostly your small group leaders dropping them in, like we want you to feel a safety to ask those things. And we want you to feel permission to chase after the answers to those questions. One quote from a guy named Eugene, when it comes to asking your questions, he says, it is not the answer that enlightens, but it is the question. Another thing about questions and answers, if you've been in school for any length of time, you probably realize that if somebody were just to hand you all the answers to your questions, you don't actually learn anything. And some of you can relate to this when I say, hey, when you take a test, and all you've done to make a good grade on the test is memorize the answers to the questions, you like get done with the test and you forget every single answer to all those questions. Why? Because all you did was memorize. All you did was try to download. You weren't actually asking the question, pursuing an answer, learning along the way. There wasn't any of that. And I think sometimes we can also get caught up in that when it comes to our faith too. Like the pursuit often is what enlightens or strengthens our faith or helps us truly learn what it is, the answer to our questions. Another way you might say this is that asking questions is more about the pursuit or the journey to the answer than it is the answer itself. You know that old, getting from point A to point B. Sometimes it's not just about getting from point A to point B as fast as you can, but it's the journey along the way. And I think that that's the case when it comes to our questions and answers. So all that to say, I hope you feel permission. I hope you feel freed to ask questions, to pursue answers, and to do that, especially when it comes to God and your faith and all the things that are in and around that. So we're going to take a journey through this magical bucket. And we're going to see, I am just going to kind of pull these a little bit at random, okay? And we'll see. Maybe I adjust that for second service. Maybe I feel a need to put that in an order. But we're going to start here with this question. And you may recognize it. You don't have to shout out, okay, and say that that's my question. But you may take a little warmth knowing that we asked your question this morning. This one says, when you pray, does it have to be professional or just like a conversation with a friend? I think this is a great question. And a lot of you guys had questions around this, like, hey, when we pray, maybe we'll get to some more specific ones, but like, hey, what does it have to look like? Does it have to look like a certain order? Does it have to look extremely professional? And I hope that over the course of this series that you saw, there are certain times when it seems like Jesus lays out, like in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, he lays out a certain order to our prayer. We'll actually look at that in just a little bit. And he says, hey, pray like this. And he gives us like a specific order that we could pray through. But yet if we go through the whole scope of scripture, We don't really see where there's this order that's followed every single time when it comes to conversations with God. Remember, prayer is a conversation with God. It's talking with him. It's us talking to him and him talking to us. And in fact, I was reading and studying this week, and you could kind of say that prayer is always really like us responding to God, because he first spoke to us, and it's us responding to him. But it's this back and forth. It's this conversation. And so when it comes to, does your prayer have to be professional, or can it just be like a conversation with a friend? I think the answer is yes and yes. Like, yeah, I think there's going to be times when you go to God and it's maybe a little bit formatted like the Lord's Prayer. Remember, Jesus started the Lord's Prayer by saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there may be times when you talk to God like that and you kind of go through like a step-by-step thing. But on the other side of it, do your prayers have to be professional? No. Like sometimes there's going to be times when you're just praying for a friend and God, I pray that this person who has the flu, that you would take the flu away from them. Like, or I pray that you would comfort them and relieve them of their symptoms. Or you're praying for somebody who's struggling financially. And there's not always just the right words for the right situation where you can just go to the Bible and see, oh, how exactly do I pray for this certain situation? And so if that's the case, it seems like there's some freedom for us to pray simply what's on our hearts. Like just like we would have a conversation with a friend. Hey, here's what I'm thinking about. Let me pray it. Let me say it to God. So do you have to pray in a certain order? I think sometimes you might. But I think most of the time, we're going to talk to God like we would talk to a friend. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of freedom in that. All right, question number two. Make sure we're tracking with our time here. Is it selfish when I don't pray for others and only pray for myself? Is it selfish when I don't pray for others, but I only pray for myself? I would say that the Bible seems pretty clear. Again, going back to the Lord's Prayer, because I think we talked about that in depth for a week. But it seems like there's room for both. It seems like God's asking us, hey, bring requests that you have about yourself and bring requests that you have about others. But I don't think that that means that every time you come to God, you need to make sure it's like this perfect balance of both. And I think that that is maybe what this question is getting at. Like, is it okay if I go to God and just have some requests for myself or for my family or for the circumstances I'm going through and not always have to have something for somebody else? To which I would say yes. Now, on the other hand, and I'd say yes, and that's not selfish. On the other hand, if you're finding that all you ever pray for is things for yourself, and I think we've talked about this, but sometimes we can treat our prayers like this magic vending machine, right? And we're like, okay, I got like $2 and I want some flaming hot Cheetos, okay? And so I go to the thing and I put in, all right, D24, and then I get the flaming hot Cheetos. And we make it all about us. And we think that prayer is all about us taking our request to God and seeing him answer them like some sort of magic vending machine or some sort of genie in a lamp. Now, I think if you're treating prayer like that, that can quickly become a very selfish way to treat prayer, and I think is clearly a wrong way to treat prayer and to treat God. Like if this is a conversation, then it would be like you going to a friend and always in that friendship only wanting something for yourself out of that friendship, out of that relationship. And yes, that is selfish. So if you do find yourself only ever asking God for things that relate to you, I might ask myself and ask God to check your heart. Like, I think you know other people, and if you know other people, then you probably are aware of other people's needs. So what is keeping you from taking the needs of other people to God? I think that would be a fair question. But the most basic way of reading this, if it's like, hey, sometimes I go to God and I only ask for things for myself and I don't ask for things for other people, is that selfish? No. But if that's all you're ever doing, You might want to ask God, like, hey, search me, know me, check my heart. I don't want to be a selfish person. I know you haven't called me to be a selfish person. Would you help me to come to you on behalf of other people as well? So there are a few questions like that. All right. Question number three, do we have to pray in public or can we just pray in private? And this was, I think, kind of stemmed from one of the messages we had a couple weeks ago, where we talked about the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. They would pray in public to make themselves look awesome, right? And God, or Jesus rather, said, hey, you should pray in secret, though. And he wasn't saying that you should always pray in secret or that you should never pray in public, but remember what he was getting at is, what's the heart behind your prayer? So to this question, do we have to pray in public? Do you have to pray in public? The answer, I think, would be no. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a command in the scripture where it's like, hey, you must pray in public. There certainly isn't one that says you have to always pray in public, right? The second part of this question, or can we just pray in private? Yes, I think that it's okay for you to pray in private and not pray in public. However, okay, if Jesus was getting to the heart of our prayers, the heart behind our prayer, I think that it's fair to do the same in this situation. What is your reason for not wanting to pray in public? Are you afraid? Like, is there fear? And what is the fear around? Are you afraid you're not going to say the right thing? Are you afraid you're not going to pray the right way? Is there some fear of, like, I don't know if I actually have the private prayer life. Like, I don't know that I actually have the relationship with God that's actually going to come out in public. I would really ask yourself and ask God again to reveal your heart around why are you so nervous or so anxious or so afraid or so against praying in public. Because I think inevitably in all of our lives, and maybe public for you, could just mean not even necessarily doing this. I think people will go their whole lives and they may never pray where they're on stage, like in a situation like this, in front of 100 people, and they may never pray to a group that big, to which I think is fine. But I think for most of us, the public comes in like, hey, around the dinner table when another family's here. Or like in our small group setting where there's like 8 of us in this room and I'm asked to pray and I just can't. I just don't want to. To that I would say, I think that it seems like the trajectory that the Lord tends to have us on is that the more time we spend talking with him, the more confidence we get in talking with him, the more our relationship with him grows. And I think the natural trajectory of that is you ought to grow in your confidence and grow in relationship in such a way that if somebody did ask you to pray in like a small group setting, or somebody asked you to pray in a group when you're out with a couple families for dinner, that you would be able to do that. Because at some point it becomes, hey, I'm just talking with my Heavenly Father. And there's not these motivations of fear or anxiousness or, you know, that it would be something that you would grow in. So is it wrong that you currently are not praying in public? No. But I think that if you are praying in private, that the Lord will grow you in a way to where, hey, a year from now, 2 years from now, it's just not as big of a deal to pray for my small group as I once thought it was, because I've got this depth of relationship with the Lord. Does that make some sense? Okay. Why is prayer called prayer? Thought this was an interesting question. So the word prayer comes from a Latin word, all right? It's some of you guys are way better at pronouncing the Latin things than me, but precari or precaria is the Latin word for prayer, and it just means to ask. Like, it just means to go forth and ask. And so how do we get our English word prayer? We get it from the Latin word precari or precaria. And it just means to ask. So that's why we call prayer prayer. Does that sound good? Thank you. How come pastors pray super long prayers, All right, this is like question number 5 or 6 or something. How come pastors pray super long prayers? I think that's a fair question. Maybe they're just trying to look super spiritual, you know? No, I think sometimes pastors pray long prayers because they're necessary, because there's a lot of things to pray for. I do think some people may pray really long prayers, both pastors and not, so that they look a certain way to a certain group of people. Sometimes pastors pray really long prayers because maybe they're trying to fill space. I don't know. There's a lot of different reasons that they might be praying long prayers. But again, I think that it gets back to what's the heart of the prayer. Is it to make yourself look good? Is it to make yourself look great? Or is it to just have a conversation with your Heavenly Father? So hopefully you don't feel like my prayers are super long, but maybe they are sometimes. Question number something. Is there an amount on how long you should pray? Is there an order of what to pray? excuse me. So to the first part of this, is there an amount on how long you should pray? It does not seem like it. And this is where I tried to kind of start you guys out with that, you know, whole 5-minute timer idea. Do you guys remember that from the first couple weeks? I said, hey, just set a 5-minute timer and pray for things during that 5 minutes. And once that's up, like that can be maybe the start of what becomes a longer prayer journey and prayer life for you guys. But you could have started that timer at like 1 minute. You could have started it at 2 minutes. Maybe 5 minutes sounds really long, but it doesn't seem like there's any length of time that you have to pray. I think sometimes the most sincere prayers are actually some of the shortest and sweetest prayers. Like, I think some of the best prayers going on in my house right now come from my boys, and they're very short, very sweet, very simple, but they're directly from their hearts, asking a God that they're starting to understand is in control of things. Hey, Lord, would you give me good dreams tonight? Like, sometimes that's my boy's biggest prayer of the day, you know? And so, no, I don't think that there's any length of time that you're supposed to pray. Is there an order of what to pray? This kind of gets to the question that we answered a little bit earlier of, like, does it have to be professional? Does it have to be da-da-da-da-da? No, there does not seem like, hey, you always have to have this order to your prayer. However, Jesus does, because some of us are like, but I would like an order, okay? And so Jesus does, in the Lord's Prayer, give us a prayer that does seem to have an order to it. And so real quick, let's read that prayer one more time. And I'm going to give you actually like a little bit of a different take on the order. If some of you are like, hey, I would like an order to my prayer. If I did pray in a certain order, what would it look like? And again, this is not a template for every time you pray. It's not a template for every order, every way that you order your prayers. But if you're like, hey, I think it would be helpful for me to get started praying, to have an order to my prayer, that's what I'm going to do here. So I went the wrong way. There we go. Matthew chapter 6, Lord's Prayer, verse 9 says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I did give a few weeks back, and you can go back and listen to that message, or you can ask me later for the specifics of the order that I gave. I changed the order up a little bit because I think that you can do that in this. And I used maybe some hopefully simpler words to give you an order that I think Jesus does here. Those words are, there's 5 words back there, tech team. The first one is wow, okay? The first one's wow. Wow. And this, that one is simply this. Jesus starts out, hey, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Wow. This is like being in awe of God. This is being wowed by God. That one of the first places it seems like Jesus points us to when it comes to our prayer is, would you take time to recognize who God is? God, you're bigger than me. You are set apart. You're holy. You're majestic. You are all powerful. You're all knowing. Like, recognize who our Creator God is. Be wowed by Him. Seems to be part of the first thing here. The second word is thanks. Some thanksgiving. Like, Lord, based on who you are, there's also a whole lot of things that you've done. Thank you for these things. Thank you that your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, thank you for the things that you're doing in my heart, the things you're doing in my family, the things that you're doing in my friends, the things you're doing in my church. Like, spending some time thanking God. So wow, thanks. The third thing is ask. This is like, give us this day our daily bread. Asking God for the things that you have going on in life. Hey, Lord, would you meet these needs? But maybe don't keep it to yourself. Remember our question from earlier. But asking God to meet these needs of people around you as well. So wow, thanks, ask, confess. Lord, would you forgive us our debts as we forgive us our debtors? I think one of the key components, and we would be wrong to miss this. I don't know that it has to be something that we are every single time we are in prayer that we come to God with, but I think it needs to be a regular part of our prayer rhythm that we're confessing our sins to God. Like, that seems to be pretty clear. Lord, here's what I've been dealing with today. Here's where I fell into temptation. Here's where I found myself in sin. Here's some of the thoughts that are going on. Lord, I confess these to you, knowing that you're going to forgive me for them. And then the last piece of this, wow, thanks, ask, confess, and protect. Lord, protect me from evil. Keep me from temptation. There's a lot of forces and a lot of things that are trying to grab at us, grab at our ankles and trap us. Lord, would you protect me from these things? I think that would be another fair thing. So if you are looking for order in your prayer, I know some of the questions were just around like, hey, how do I start praying? Maybe that will give you something to go on. There are some more questions in here, and we're not going to get to all of them because we're out of time. But if there are questions that you had that you feel like, hey, we haven't answered, feel free to ask them of your small group leader, or feel free to come find me after your small group and ask that question. Like, man, I was really hoping that you would answer this. What do you think about this question that I submitted? Or maybe it's not even a question you submitted, but it's one you have right now. I would love to chat with you through some of those questions. So let me pray for us. I'm going to give a super long, I'm just kidding, just a quick prayer. And then you guys can go to small groups. Lord, thanks for being a God that we can ask questions of, that you actually encourage us to ask questions. You encourage us to seek answers to those questions. And God, thanks for being faithful to meet us in that journey along the way. I pray that you would do that this morning, but do that for the rest of our lives as we journey through this thing called life and discover a lot about you along the way, a lot about ourselves as well. We love you. I pray that you would make us people who pray, people who have good conversation with you, and that builds our faith and strengthens our relationship with you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.